Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. I hope everyone is doing well. Right now, everything worldwide seems to be chaotic, with a capital C. And I hope maybe you'll find some enjoyment from the poetry this evening to give you some relief from the shopping and the crowds and the bills that will be coming in. Okay. Let me mute this. Hold on. I'm trying to mute this TV. Sorry about that. Got the TV muted, and for those just joining in, the sound that you hear in the background is my 15-year-old Shih Tzu, who has spasms, and she sounds like a little bear, but she's hanging in there. Okay. Okay, let's see where we're going to start. I'll start with this one. The Barn. This I actually wrote this in 2015, and it was my first attempt at writing flash fiction, which is I don't know if they have a word, a minimum word count or what, but it's a short version. It's a fiction story, an entire story, but it's written with very few words. So, okay, this is called The Barn. It was a small, nondescript barn that sat about a quarter of a mile back from the main road. You had to park on the side of the road and walk up the hill on a dirt path to access the house. There was a house, a barn, an outhouse, a small chicken coop with about 12 chickens and two roosters, spring water well, a cow, and a mule. Small plots of corn, beans, potatoes, and tobacco dotted the land. If you didn't know it was there, it would go unnoticed. But it seems lots of people from around the county knew where it was. They would come to the farm, bringing their family members to her as if she were a licensed medical doctor. If they had rashes or coughs or some other mystery illness, they headed straight to her farm. They called her a healer, a root doctor. Drink some water, Momo. She would take them down the muddy path, strewn with rocks that zigzag downhill, away from the back of the house. The path led to a weathered barn where they cured the tobacco leaves. The air was thick with the aromatic scent of tobacco, and only she and the person that was ill would enter through the large 6-plank wide door of the barn. The family member would wait outside, taking a seat on one of the several wooden stools or crates alongside the barn. Sometimes the wait was short. Sometimes the wait could be very long. Some would try to peer in through the gaps in the slats of the wood frame building to no avail. Their view was obstructed by the hanging tobacco leaves. As well, any sound in the barn was muffled by the denseness of the hundreds of tobacco leaves. When she emerged from the barn, the person was whole again, healed of whatever the infirmity was or would be in 2 or 3 days. They said she sure, come here, Momo. I'm sorry. Mo, get your water. Get your water. Drink your water. I'm sorry. Okay. The person was whole again, healed of whatever the infirmity was or would be in 2 or 3 days. They said she sure could work them roots. They said she could fix or undo anything, whatever mystical, magical, or godly or ungodly thing my ex-mother-in-law did. She did it well because the people kept coming. I have my suspicions that she took my marriage into that barn and undid it with her mojo. I'm sorry, Mo is still having spasms. They'll stop, and I don't know when they'll stop, but they will stop, and like they're stopping now. Okay. Okay, this is called banana bread. And I guess when I wrote this, it really had to do with me, my first recognitions of things were changing for me, meaning growing old. And this is a result of that. I respect spotted bananas and green peppers and bruised peaches and pears. I no longer gag when I see wilted lettuce or touch soft cucumbers or squishy tomatoes. I won't throw them out anymore. Now I make soup and banana bread and take time to look for the good parts that are left. I then smile and savor their flavors made rich by age. I no longer step on fragile leaves, changing from lush to limp to dust. I won't rape them with a rake. I admire their multicolored colors that made me take notice of life. I'm in awe that in winter's shadow, they continue to give pleasure and to make memories. They let me know there is purpose and beauty, even in the end of things. Okay, before I go on to the next poem, I forgot. I wanted to make mention that well, number one, I finally ordered a computer and expect it here on the 14th of December so I can type up all of my scrap pieces of paper that I've been writing on and hopefully do a better delivery. Because I'll be getting that computer, I hope to do a much better job, people, on this podcast. And extend the content because I'll be going from 2 Mondays a month to 4 Mondays a month starting in January. And by the way, I really would like to hear from you. You can text me, email me and tell me what you think of the poetry. Okay. Okay. This this poem is No Cry for Me. Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? Were my boat a train instead? Would there be outrage? Would there be protest? Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? Was not my dignity stripped naked? My head, like cattle, placed on an auction block? Was master, not kin to Mangala, examining my teeth and gums, my body used for pleasure, abused with pain? Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? Were not my black babies torn from my breast and like Rumpelstiltskin straw turned into gold for economic gain? Pickaninnies, you call them, made to be footstools, treated like pets. Were not my daddy's phallus and my brother's balls pickled in southern comfort, put into a jar to grace a mantle trophy high, and my left breast made a conversation piece, tanned and tooled into a tobacco pouch to hang at your side? Why is there no Holocaust for me? Were the millions of black skins white? Would they build a memorial, a museum, propose and allocate for a national monument? Would they shout never again? Would they say, lest we forget? Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? A child. You made me wear red fox stockings that turned my skinny sixth grade legs as orange as a jack-o'-lantern's head. I didn't understand the sneers and mocking. I was just a child. You made me make a secret about my love of the color red, 'cause if black gals wore it, they were called whores, and I was just a child. You made me know in no uncertain terms that white kids were better, as if I had some contagious germs, and I was just a child. You made me hate my hair and nose and lips, as every year your white Santa never brought a doll to look like me. My beauty was never in his thoughts, and I was just a child. You made me feel dumb with your school books that lied and tried to say, my people gave nothing to this world and will achieve even less. I was just a child. You made me use lemons in abundance and bleaching creams to try and change my black sun-danced skin to damn near white. And I was just a child. You made me eat watermelon at the kitchen table when everyone knows it's much more fun to eat outside and see who can spit the seeds the furthest. So inside my house, frightened as a little mouse that you might see me and call me Watermelon Head, I placed the seeds in the trash can, and I was just a child. You made me miss my childhood, laden with the burden of your fears, as if your terrible confusion Whoops, sorry, glasses. Okay, I had to adjust these glasses. You made me miss my childhood, laden with the burden of your fears, as if your terrible confusion could stop me from becoming who I am. A woman, black, beautiful, and strong, who will not let you do to another precious black child your ugly wrongs. That reference in that poem, Just a Child, about the red fox stockings, this was back in the 50s and 60s, and there was only one color stocking made for black women. Didn't make any difference what hue our skin was, because we go the whole spectrum, but there was only one shade that was sold for us, and it was called Red Fox. But anyway, okay. Okay. Since I turned, became another year older, the day after Thanksgiving was my birthday. So these next couple of poems are about where I am in life right now, focusing on these challenges that come with, excuse me, with aging. This is called Once Upon a Time, and actually is really based on myself, my grandmother, and my aunt sitting on her front porch just having conversation when this young lady comes down the street. This is called Once Upon a Time. Like moths to a flame and flies to honey, men circled around her wherever she went. Reason for the attraction, too tight and too short dresses that showed all of her private business. The hoest shoes she wears, the red ones, 5 inches high, made her calf muscles sit up and butt stick out, and her breasts point east and west. Grandma would call her a heifer, and Auntie would chime in with hussy. Me, I just excuse myself and go to my room to look in the back of my closet and pull out my old leather miniskirt and my old 1960s favorite pair of leopard print heels, 4 inches high. I just smile and remember Once Upon a Time. Excuse me again. Momo, come here. I'm trying to give me a second. I just want to move my doggy closer to me so that I can stroke her and hopefully calm these spasms she's having. Come on. Yeah. Lay down. Atta girl. Lay down. Okay. I'm sorry, but she's going through her aging challenges too, and I'm just trying to keep her with me as long as I can. I love her so. Okay. This poem again has to do with the challenges that I'm facing. This is called Fragrance. Her favorite fragrance these days is Febreze linen. Says it ensures She won't smell musty, smell stale like an old lady. She goes to Costco's for the bargain buy of 4 sprays for $5. She buys $20 worth, which does put a dent in her budget, but she's desperate to keep everything, her clothes, bedroom, furniture, curtains, just everything, smelling clean and fresh, warding off the aroma of decay and death. Okay. It's okay. Okay. This one. This is called, it's just called Woman. It's very short. Enticing nipples, slim hips, firm calves, give birth to nanny jugs, ham hock hips, and cornbread thighs. I hope that you're able to hear. It's very quiet. I can't hear anything except Mo and her poor spasms. But I'm hoping that you're able to call in. Okay. Crazy Miss Lucy. She sat gap-legged on the front porch, her knees as far apart as the width of the Mississippi. Her support hose cascaded like a waterfall around her thin frame and fragile ankles. For some 80-odd years of ups and downs, of work, births, deaths, and struggles, she has studied and mastered life. Each day she patiently waited on her tattered, padded chair for a wave to turn into a pause. But her pleated brow, toothless grin, and constant mumblings hid her wisdom from youthful passers-by who snickered and called her Crazy Miss Lucy. Okay. And we'll do, let me see. Beginnings and endings. And again, this is coming from a series of poems that I've written on the aging experience. Beginnings and endings. Grandchild on the way. Daughters full of life. Looking forward to a new beginning. Although it punctuates how late the day. And my all too soon approaching ending. It's okay, Mo. It's okay. 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 Let's see. Okay. I'll do this. Ode to Sunday dinner. I don't know. It's something about the season when Thanksgiving begins and everybody's talking about food and everybody's eating out and going to see families and friends and celebrating over food. But this is called Ode to Sunday dinner. Like clockwork every Sunday, just about 4:15, there stood Mrs. Clyde Tillman, smiling and knocking at the door, testifying and talking, talking and testifying, all the while she'd be spying to see if dinner was served. She had a whole lot of nerve, more gall than a cow in heat. Ms. Tillman was determined she and her unruly brats were going to get free food to eat. She had no qualms at all about opening, she had no qualms at all about opening the screen door, telling her brood to enter, not one or two, but four bad little knucklehead boys. If anyone looked askew, she knew just what to do. She'd praise the Lord out loud, waving her Bible in the air all proud. She'd recite a verse here and there. Mom would holler, "Yes, sweet Jesus," and begin to tear. Aunt Lucy chime in with a thunderous amen, amen, and ask Miss Tillman to pull up a chair. In a flash, Miss Tillman took the cue, sat down, and removed her too tight shoes. She complimented Mama on her decor as her horrible children wrestled on the floor. While Daddy got chairs for her bad four, she said, "Mama set a sumptuous fare." "Uh-oh, Mama, beware, beware." Mrs. Tillman put the icing on the cake when she asked, was Mama expecting company? Because she certainly wouldn't want to intrude. "Oh, no," said Mama. "Help yourself. We're glad to have you. Glad to have you." Okay. You do. Ode to the Chitlin's Mystique. And my family loved soul food. I was the only one in the group that didn't like soul food, especially, in particular, chitlins, or chitterlings, as some would pronounce it. Can't wash the dishes. The unholy gray mask is quietly soaking in the sink, like the calm before the storm of boiling water that will unleash their hard secret. They're seasoned with salt and pepper and vinegar and placed on the stovetop. Their odor rises with the steam lifting the top of the boiling pot. The aroma floats in every direction, out the kitchen window and onto the street, knocking on every neighbor's door, drifting throughout the house, sneaking around the corner, through the living room, and up the stairs, and oh my God, to my room. I run ahead of its trail to close closet doors and to cover my clothes, my shoes, my everything, to protect them from getting that telltale day after scent that lets everyone you know and those you don't know just what you had for dinner last night. There is no delicate way to say it. Chitlins downright stink. Those ugly gray, brown, pink things, those swarmy, swiggly, wriggly things, who would ever think that they could please a palate? And Daddy swears I'm not his child if I don't fix a plate as he doctors his portion with red hot sauce. But chitlins will not bring a smile to those downturned lips, no matter how much collard greens and potato salad and cornbread on the side. I just don't get it. What is the attraction? Especially when you know what passes down the winding and twisting canal. But everyone seems to enjoy them. They eat and eat and eat and tell jokes about the meat. about how Mrs. Wallace's chitlins ain't good because she don't clean them right, and how Mrs. Jefferson served some pregnant chitlins and folks got sick. And they continued to talk and eat and compliment the cook, saying, "These is show some mouth-watering, lip-smacking, kiss your mama, thank you, good eating chitterlings." And I just don't see the appeal and find it a rather distasteful meal. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I don't know why. This next poem has to do with the poem I did all about Eve. And I really haven't, I just put All About Eve 2.0, but why I typed it with red ink, I have no idea. I can hardly see it. Let me grab the other pair of glasses and see. Thank God Mo's spasms have stopped. Bless her heart. Okay, glasses on. Okay. All About Eve 2.0. Eve, girl, you sure enough opened a can of worms. Fast forward 6,000 years or so to the 21st century, things are no better. There's a steady stream of chaos and mayhem on earth without an end in sight. Webster's Dictionary has not only added virtue and sin, murder and martyr, they were soon followed by pride, envy, lust, avarice, wrath, sloth, and gluttony. In fact, Webster's could hardly keep up with the latest definitions of sin that man was committing. They were coming at the speed of light, so fast Webster's had to hire a young techie to digitize the dictionary into gigabytes. Sunday, the Lord's Day, has become just another day, except for CME, you know, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, when there is standing room only in the church, and pastors have crown themselves bishop and preach financial prosperity rather than the gospel, using tithes to buy pimp mobiles and private jets. Grandma could spot a jackleg preacher in a split second. She used to say he weren't called by the Lord. He called himself to the pulpit. And prayers of praise and thanksgiving have given way to praying to hit the lottery. And children ain't children anymore, doing grown-up things before they can finish elementary school. They're raising themselves because mama too busy pole dancing and twerking and going to twerking classes so she can get a man. And mankind has minimized the golden rules to just do unto others as you would have them do unto you has been changed to, sadly, do unto others before they do you. Eve, girl, you stirred up a hornet's nest. There is so much more to say, but I'd rather get on my knees and pray till perpetuity, 'cause I believe it is closer than we think. Amen. Oh, poor little mower spasms are still happening. And I'm rubbing her as I sit here, hoping it will help her calm calm the spasms. Get some water. Okay. Okay, let's see. You know, I don't even know if they're still in existence, of the Girl Scouts and the Brownies. Oh, yes, Girl Scouts. Yeah, they sell Girl Scouts. But before you became a Girl Scout, you were called a Brownie, and your uniforms were brown. Well, that's what the reference is in this poem called Longing. Come here, Momo. Longing for the days of children's laughter, jacks played on the front steps, and mud pie lunches with green leaf and dandelion tea, tossed weed and mulberry salad, quenched with rainwater soda pop. Refreshed, we enjoy a game of hopscotch drawn with a brisket from the cold bin. Play gleefully with a large heel from Daddy's old shoe. Longing for childhood's return. Remembering greased knees and faces scrubbed shiny clean. Buttercup and honeysuckle bouquets for Ma. Days of magic words like thank you and please. Of being seen and not heard. Of little Sally Ann and Miss Mary Mack. Of afternoon bubble baths and nap time till 3 o'clock. When we would don our uniforms and become brownies and go off to Mother Bobian's house. Miss Bobian, actual person who was our brownie leader. Okay. Yeah, those days are gone. Sad to say. Let's see. Flipping pages, sorry. Miss Hattie. Miss Hattie was my grandmother. And I wrote this about her, and there's a reference in here to Lady Lena, and I'm referring to Lena Horne, for those of you who are young. Okay. Miss Hattie. Even at 86, she never considered wearing old lady shoes. One of the few pleasures she still enjoyed was being stylish. Lady Lena ain't got nothing over her. Miss Hattie was always prima donna at Bethel AME Church's yearly style show. Hats and purses of every color, size, and shape were perfectly coordinated with her costume jewelry, better dresses, and gloves. I'm sure Hanes thigh highs originated with Miss Hattie. Just measure the depth of the perfectly round indentations just above her knees, where homemade garters and of elastic and a safety pin held her nylons in place while creating road maps, purple and blue veins the length of her petite legs. I can picture her now and the other ladies, other mothers of the church. During my youth, we wore, and it included young girls, we wore hats and gloves to church. Our heads were always covered We always had our white gloves on. I miss those days. Now, just come as you are. Let's see. Flipping pages again. Okay, this one. Tomorrow has come. Gravity pull, sagging breast, body needs lots of rest. Cotton underwear, plain white. No dare, no one to look anymore, no one to care. Uneven gray and wiry tresses, getting used to longer dresses. Mustache on upper lip, no more perfect fingernail tips. Toothless grin and hairs on the chin. I sit for hours, unable to get started. While tomorrow arrived. Another one from my aging topic. Okay. Sorry, I'm flipping so many pages again. And okay. I need to get some new glasses. Let's see. Her hands. Her hands held babies, wiped away tears, raised six children, soothed childhood fears. Cleaned up big and little messes, combed and braided knotty heads, ironed pretty ruffled dresses, washed and changed all the beds. Her hands loved and hugged, sewed and hemmed, mended, cooked, kneaded, and baked, worked from sun up till dark, and the day had ended. With her body weary and her knees no longer bended. Clean white folks' houses, hand starched Mr.'s shirts, hung up Mrs.'s blouses and pressed all of her skirts. Cleaned the church on Saturday morning. Sunday held the hymnal with love. Her hands should have worn diamonds instead of rubber gloves. Her hands dusted, swept, and waxed. So petite, she was frail and taxed. All of her life, she served the church, family, and friends. Now her hands are still. Lord, please give her what she deserves. Again, I wrote that about my grandmother, Miss Hattie. Let's see. Okay, just a couple more. I'm going to stop at 7:50, and any announcements I have, I'll make at that time. And, okay, let me see. Envy. Honey child, she come in with them collard green eyes. You know what I'm talking about. Girlfriend, jealousy. Let there be no doubt. But that's the price she's got to pay for always telling her man lies. Now she's staring me down, 'cause all he's got is eyes for my cornbread thighs. Okay, one more. Let me see. Ode to chair dancing. Smooth feet and slender ankles, once adorned by a gold ankle bracelet and pointed toe spiked heel shoes that executed the fanciest of footsteps to the latest dance craze and never tired. Now they move a little slower, spread beyond recognition into crepe-soled lace-ups that are easy on the corns and keep each step comfortable and sure. But the body remembers the beat, loves the rhythm, and still moves to the music as shoulders, arms, head, and neck create new steps as she sits in her favorite chair by the radio. Well, that's definitely the state that I'm in. Now, at this age, I do a lot of chair dancing. Okay. Let's see. I'll do this short one before. Okay. We got a minute before 7:50. Okay. Sister love. Sisters can be cute and funny, a pain in the neck, noisy, nosy, tattletales, best friends, and secret keepers. One thing's for sure, they wouldn't let anyone else do to you what they've done, 'cause sisters love you. Okay. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there, I have no idea because I'm not getting any audio. I don't hear anyone. So we didn't have a chance to have conversation. And we hope we get this issue resolved. Again, I want to say we hope to, the tentative plan is to go from 2 Mondays a month to 4 Mondays a month starting in January. And yes, I finally ordered a computer and it should be here on the 14th. The next date that we're scheduled, it's actually Christmas Day, so there won't be any podcast on that day. The next date that we are scheduled is the 25th. That's the last Monday in the month. And we won't have a podcast at that time. You can text me or email me. Give me your thoughts about the poetry that I've shared with you. We're working towards adding these extra Mondays, and I'm working toward it, offering more content and hopefully be like a real podcast. But we've got to solve the issue of you not being able to call in, or we can't seem to get conversation going. I hope you enjoyed the poetry. Take time away from the chaos that's going on out there with the Christmas shopping and so forth. You don't have to be out there in the crowd every day. Give yourself some distance from that busyness that's going on. Take a deep breath and relax. And I hope to talk to you next time, which actually the date would be, let me see. I don't know, 23, will be January the 8th. Okay, take care. Thanks for listening.